This message entitled, Holy, 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 was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on January 8th, 2017 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Revelation 4, 1-11.
Praise God. Would you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Now, it was even this morning that I was looking at this and was considering, you know, sometimes I'll go ahead and, especially if during the message I'm going to be going over the entire chapter or the entire section of Scripture, even verse by verse, and a lot of times I'll just say, well, the Scriptures are embedded in the message, and they are, but I just felt kind of led this morning to just still have it before you in one piece, so to speak, not all divided up and talking about it and so forth. So in one piece, here's Revelation chapter 4. It is only 11 verses. And this is following, of course, the letters that Jesus has sent to the church. And we'll talk about some of that later. But this is chapter 4, and it's immediately before all of the judgments that take place through the book of Revelation. So it's kind of like a segue, so to speak. But like I said, concerning the offering, it's not just a time of intermission. It's not just a time to, you know, like I say, a place of respite, you know, to just kind of rest and zone out and so forth. No, this is crucial. Chapter 4 is crucial, I believe, to the understanding of the whole book, let alone the chapter itself. Okay? So, it is Revelation chapter 4. Praise God. Amen?
After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and I heard a voice as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure are they and were created.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you just bow your heads, please, and let's come before the Lord. We've already heard the scriptures, and now we need to come and hear what God wants to speak through these scriptures. So let's bow our heads and let's pray for his blessing upon this time. Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are so merciful and gracious. You have given, dear God, everything this day. You've given the place, you've given the time, you've given every heart, dear God, to take it seriously to gather unto you. And I do pray, dear God, that you'd have your way in this place today. I do pray, dear God, that you would have the glory in every way, Lord. You would be lifted up and exalted, dear God, in all of this time, Lord. We just want to see you as holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Winter. Winter. Are you done with it yet? I mean, have you about had it? Are you kind of looking forward to spring? I mean, especially this weekend with almost zero temperatures and very, very cold and some snow still on the ground and so forth. Are you done with it yet? Well, not quite yet, and I'll tell you why. Did you hear this one? Did you hear this one? What did Jack Frost say to Frosty the Snowman? What did Jack Frost say to Frosty the Snowman? Have a nice day. Right? Have a nice day. Okay, what about this one? What did the snowman and his wife put over their baby's crib? A snowmobile. All right, okay, one more. What does Frosty's wife put on her face at night? I think maybe you guessed it. Cold cream. Right? Okay. Okay. One more since you insist. Why are there only snowmen and not too many snow women mentioned? Because only men are dumb enough to stand out in the snow without a coat. All right? My wife kind of thought that was hilarious. Well, I want to shift gears for just a minute and just for a little bit. Still about snow. You know how it is always a favorite pastime back in the good old days to try to catch snowflakes with your tongue? Well, a wise person once gave the advice to never catch snowflakes with your tongue while the birds have gone, until rather, the birds have gone south for the winter. Right? That sounds at first like pretty good advice. Yes, well, right now, we are in the church season of Epiphany, and it is a time of more light, and therefore seeing things clearly and discovering the reality of the purpose of his coming. One of the important colors, well, there are several colors that are important in the season of Epiphany, but one in particular is white. As white as snow. As white as snow. He indeed will be the light before us to guide us in his way. And his advice is totally wise. So what about it? First of all, we're talking about snowmen, and then we're talking about the Christian call. Now, only one of these two things is real. Right? You know it's not the talking snowmen, right? But you do know it's the Christian call. One is a reality, and such is the case with God's instruction. Actually, when God says something, it is not just advice. It is the truth. And it is his expectation. And it is even a commandment. God doesn't give advice. He gives the truth. And if we are to come alive in him even more fully than Frosty the Snowman, remember Frosty the Snowman would come to life when a top hat landed on his head, right? Swirled around in the wind and landed on his head, and he became alive. Well, we're talking about being alive even more than that, because Frosty the Snowman and Jack Frost and all of that is not even reality, right? The fact of the matter is, the thing is going to turn out God's way in the end. I think we see it all through history, from a perfect creation to a devastating fall from grace due to wrong choices by Adam and Eve, from a world oppressed by sin and darkness to the light of a resurrected Son of God, from a church that wants to do right, but can't really do so until there is a surrender to the all-powerful, indwelling Holy Spirit. Yes, by God's mercy, one thing leads to another. Do you see what I'm saying? One thing leads to another. Praise God. Praise God. The church who wants to do right can't even really do so without that Holy Spirit. Yes, by God's mercy, one thing leads to the other. Praise God. All of this is pictured in miniature in one book of the Bible. And it turns out to be the very last book of the Bible, namely the book of Revelation. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Now, I have absolutely no intention of going through the entire book of Revelation verse by verse in this sermon series. We've already done that a couple of different times in Bible studies. So we're not doing that here. But we do want to see some things that point to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. In the first chapter that we looked at last week, the disciple John is introduced to the light of the world, namely Jesus, but in his glorified form. Remember? Eyes that shone like flames of fire. You know, things that illuminate, things that light up. Oh, the light that shone through that chapter, right? We talked about it last week. Well, that leads us to chapter 2 and chapter 3, which are the letters of Jesus to the seven churches, symbolizing the era that we find ourselves in today, the church age. Now, I could go ahead and dwell on all the letters, but I want to move on through the entire book in a matter of a few weeks. So let's go ahead and move on. And then comes the fourth chapter now, and that's what we want to take a look at today, the fourth chapter. And we hear from John himself. Look at verse 1. Now this is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. You see, the book of Revelation is apocalyptic. It talks about things that are to be. It points to one thing, and then it points to another as time progresses. It, by nature, it is symbolic. So everything in it is leading to, or even pointing to, something else. Something deeper. Something even more spiritual. The late Donald Stamps put it this way. He said, many Bible expositors believe that at this point, we're talking about Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, at this point in Revelation, Christ has already taken the faithful overcomers of his churches out of the world. In fact, that when John is called up hither, he is being called up higher. He is being called upward. And it's a symbolism, a symbol of the rapture itself, the catching up of the people of God, as John is caught up in order to be shown some things. And I think that is quite true. I think it's quite true. I think that's exactly what this chapter is about. This event being described, called the rapture, or more literally, the catching away, is described in some detail in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In fact, I'd like you to turn to that, if you would. Go ahead and mark your place there in the book of Revelation. I want you to see this text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're not going to look at the whole thing, but enough to show you. 1 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 16. Okay? 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. When we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. See, there's that catching away. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, comparing this event, which is called the rapture, compare it to the second coming, which is found in Revelation chapter 19. they most certainly can't be describing the same event as some people suggest. They try to suggest that there is no rapture, that it's just another way of describing the second coming, and it can't be. It can't be, because, well, a lot of reasons. It's a different time. One's happening at the end of the tribulation. One happens at the beginning. There's different details, like the catching away, rising to meet him. But when the second coming takes place, he plants his feet on Mount Moriah, you know, at Jerusalem, literally. The Mount of Olives, I'll put it that way, more specifically. So everything's different about it. Everything is different about these two things. Now, besides all that, the Greek word ecclesia, referring to the church, is found repeatedly before the fourth chapter. Many, many times it's found before the fourth chapter in the book of Revelation. But after this first verse of chapter 4, this catching away, this rapture, it is not found at all until Revelation chapter 19. And then it declares the church to be in heaven with its Christ. That's the second coming. And Jesus comes back with his church, his army dressed in white. His redeemed people come back with him to vanquish Satan. So clearly these are not the same things. And obviously, I think the bulk of the chapters that are in between chapter 4 and chapter 19 concern the last day's judgments. And that's all summed up as the 7-year-long tribulation period, which I think quite clearly falls in between the rapture and the second coming and what is going on. Of course, the tribulation is a horrible time that's going to be going on here on this earth, but in heaven it's a glorious time because it's the wedding feast. Okay? It's the wedding feast. I firmly believe that John is called up hither in his own personal rapture, in his own vision, not necessarily physically, but within this vision, just to see and experience the whole thing ahead of time. Specifically, to be a word of encouragement right at that time, in his day, as well as through the subsequent centuries. And what's the purpose? To point the true church on its way to its destination. Onto its destination with plenty of light along the pathway. Amen? You see that? Okay, look at verses 2 and 3. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, this sardine is not talking about little fish in a can. It's a precious gem. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. All right, so you've got crystal clear, you've got red as the jasper, you've got the emerald, which of course is green. Wow, amazing, beautiful colors just filling the court. A whole rainbow of dazzling hues, picturing the multifaceted character of his presence. Holiness, mercy, grace, and even his wrath against sin. As I believe you already know, the rainbow is a very, very powerful picture of grace returning after the judgment. We find that very clearly in Genesis chapter 9, which of course is speaking of Noah and the ark and the rainbow that appeared after the flood. Well, in chapter 4, though, we are told of the 24 elders surrounding his throne, and we're told they're clothed in whiteness, representing purity, holiness, and even victory. And then, don't forget their crowns of gold, real gold. So, who are these 24 elders? Well, some commentators suggest that they are a picture of the church that is already in the glories of heaven by this time. And that's true. The church will be raptured in the first verse. It's pictured in the first verse. And then after that, of course, that's where the church is. But some even say that they are the angels But I think, I really do think, that we can be even more specific than that. I believe they represent Israel and the church. Israel and the church. 12 of the 24 reminding us of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. You know who I'm talking about? The sons of Jacob. Okay? And the other 12 picturing the apostles of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying they are the patriarchs, arcs rather, and they are the apostles. I suppose they could be, but it's representative. Remember, Revelation is symbolic. They stand together. The New Testament and the Old Testament stands together in worshiping God and His Lamb. Amen? Now look at verse 5. Then we're told, look at this, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Picture the light that emanates from this description. Incredible. You see, in the Jewish way of thinking, and I've said this many times before, the number seven represents absolute fullness and completion. Yes, these seven spirits, I think, are a very dramatic way of speaking of the Holy Spirit. And I think the language that we're seeing here in Revelation probably emanated from Isaiah chapter 11. Okay, would you turn there? Once again, keep your finger there in Revelation 4. We'll come back to it. But look at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Okay? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Go ahead, add them up. There's the Spirit of the Lord that rests upon him. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord that rests upon him, specifically the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, that's three now, and the Spirit of counsel and might, that's five, the Spirit of knowledge, that's six, and the fear of the Lord, that's seven. I think it puts you in mind, or at least it puts me in mind, of the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit as we find them in the New Testament. Do you see how the Old and New Testament are melted together, so to speak, conformed together in order to worship God and His Lamb? Yes, the Holy Spirit is like a burning fire filled with judgment against sin, revealing the purity of God. Praise God! Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty! So do you see it? Do you see the light of the last days? I told you last week that's what we're going to be looking at for several weeks here before we get to the season of Lent. We're going to be talking about in light of the last days. In the light of the last days. Praise God. So don't forget this. Go back to chapter 4, Revelation, right? And verses 6 and 7. Look at this. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, do you, in your own thinking and in your own heart, do you have enough light to see this picture? It is a picture of all of creation before the throne of God. First of all, there's your wild, the wild. Then you've got domesticated. Then you've got humanity. Okay? There's the lion, which is a picture of wild, right? There's the calf, pictured of a domestic beast. Third beast is that as of a man, so it's humanity. And lastly, the eagle, the fowls of the air. Yes, the noblest, the strongest, the wisest, and the swiftest. Praise God. Praise God. All of creation, I think, is the picture. Bowing down before the throne. And what is their message? Look at verse 8. And they rested not day and night. They did not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise God. Amen. Which was and is to come. Our God is eternal. He never had a beginning. He never will have an end. And He's surely right here with us today. Amen? Praise the Lord. And when all of creation bows down and gives the Messiah glory, honor, and thanksgiving, what do the 24 elders do? Look at verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, that is before Jesus, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns upon the throne, or before the throne rather, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Even today, all of creation is submitted to the Creator, except for man. Now, I'm not saying all men, I'm not saying all women, or all children, or anything else, because the true church is certainly humbled before Him and submitted before Him. But there are a lot of people that are refusing to do so, aren't there? The sun does what it's supposed to do. It follows the Creator. The moon does too. The stars do. Rocks do what rocks are supposed to do. Grass does what grass is supposed to do. You go right down the line. All of creation does what it's supposed to do, except for people. Right? There are many today who are in rebellion. They are refusing to cast down their earthly crowns. They've got the attitude of, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I don't care what everybody else thinks. I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the Bible says. I've got to do what I've got to do. And you'll hear that. You'll hear it from people in these days. It's called the self-life. And that self-life has got to go. Even Jesus said that. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow me. Amen? And that's it, that self-life, it's got to go in order for you to be in God's will. You are not in God's will if you're still doing what you want to do instead of what God says. We're told of precious gems here in this chapter. You know, there was jasper and emeralds and rainbows. They glow pretty good, don't they? Golden crowns, sparkling. Right? Lightnings and thunderings, lamps of burning fire. Just look at the light. Just look at the light of the last days. Amen? Just look at the light. How it illuminates. How it shines. How it points the direction. All of it illuminating the pathway of holiness. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Donald Stamps, the editor of the Full Life Study Bible that I mentioned a little bit earlier, he also wrote this. He said, to be holy means to be separated from sin, unrighteousness, and all evil. And, at the same time, to be dedicated to goodness, righteousness, justice, and purity. Holiness is an eternal attribute of God, and His holiness will never, ever change. So, where do we fit in? You know, there's a lot of people running around today thinking, okay, God's holy, so we don't have to be. That's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say that at all. We're not saved by our holiness. We're not saved by our righteousness. We're not saved by our good works, but we are called unto them. And by the power of an indwelling Holy Spirit, we can be about that. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he wrote, as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. Right? So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And conversation is not just referring to the words you say. Conversation refers to the whole lifestyle. And then Peter goes on and says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're not given some kind of blank check on this, and we can go ahead and live the way we want to live. No, God is calling us into holiness. And without that holiness, from His holiness, we're not in His will. That's all there is to it. Now, is that possible, though? I mean, some people try to suggest, well, He's talking about when we're in heaven. You know, be ye holy as I am holy. You know, like, you know, when you get to heaven, you'll be holy. No, that's not what He says. He says it's very possible in this life. You know why? Because if you're willing to let the self-life die and let the fullness of the Holy Spirit take control, it's God that's making your decisions for you. Amen? I mean, God Himself said it was possible with the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, I'm telling you, people, this is reality. Talking snowmen and Jack Frost and all of that is made up. It's made up. My friends, this is reality. Praise God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise God. And this is what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks. We're going to be looking at the light that shines out of the last days, even in the midst of the judgments that go on during the tribulation. God is still shining a light. So praise God. I do believe it's going to be a powerful time of revelation, so to speak. Revelation. It's going to be a powerful time of epiphany, as He gives us epiphanies along the way. And praise God. Who can do it but God? Amen. For He is the only powerful one. He is the only real one. The rest of this other stuff is made up. Amen? Praise God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, I just want to thank You, Lord, from the bottom of my heart. And I believe the people gathered here today, Lord, want to thank You from the bottom of their hearts as well, dear God, for this gathering, for this time. You have given it, dear God. And Your word is to go deep into our hearts and change us from the inside out. So we want to thank You for it, and we just lift You up and exalt You, dear God, in this glorious day. It's glorious, Lord, because You have met Your people, and we thank You for this, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen.